Good morning. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. My name is Diane Clausen, and I'm the duty elder today. Please be seated. The announcements are all in your bulletin, but there are a couple of things I've been asked to remind you of. The Christmas Eve service that was held here December 24th at 7 o'clock. Those taking part in the service, will you please gather just in the sanctuary here immediately after today's service? Another little announcement, the poinsettias will be available for pickup for those who have ordered them immediately after today's service. I just have one other thing I want to say. Please, please be careful when you're leaving the church. Very icy. So everyone, please, let's all help each other so we don't, no one gets injured at this time of the year. I'm going to pass it over to Bruce now.
I'll make sure I've turned this on. Yes, I have. Good. I had a couple things I wanted to mention regarding services later today. We have our longest night service happening today, or the Blue Christmas, as is also known. It's at 4 o'clock today here in the sanctuary. And I really have, as I sent out in my email to everybody, I really want to encourage you to come out. This is a time to remember the people in our lives who may not be with us anymore, but also just a time when often we might feel pressured to be with people all the time and we may be on our own. This is a time just for quiet reflection and a time for taking a moment to, if it's been a rushed time this time of year for many of us too, this is the time to kind of calm down and breathe slowly and just really contemplate. So it's a very contemplative service that we have. And I know that, as I said in the email that I sent out, that people who've come in the past really have enjoyed the service for just its calmness and its serenity, and it's a very good thing. I'd like to meet with the SAW committee as well here after the service briefly so we can get some planning done regarding readings and whatnot. I think that's all other than whatever's in the bulletin. Let's take a moment now to prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Just before I call on the Fielding family to come up and lead our call to worship, this is a different service that we're running today. It's going to follow our standard format and whatnot, but the children who are here today will be participating in different ways in our service, and some of them will be helping with collection, and some will be helping with readings, and some will be helping with the sermon. So it's going to be kind of a different way of doing things in some regard. So let's include our kids, and you're going to get included as well, whether you want to be or not. And that'll be good too, I think. So again, I'll call on the Fieldings now.
Come down, O Lord. Tear open the heavens and come down.
We wait. We wait with love in our hearts. We wait with Mary, whose loving spirit rejoices in you. We wait for God's love to descend upon us, and we lift up the lowly and fill the hungry with good things.
Let us worship the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior, who has looked with favor on us.
We wait in love for God to come down.
Thank you very much. Let's join together now in our first hymn this morning. It's hymn 119, following what we've been doing in the last little while. We'll be singing verse 4 of this hymn. We'll sing it twice. Hope is a Star, 119, verse 4, two times. Thank you. Sunday after Sunday, we gather at this particular point in our service of worship, and we come before God to give our prayers of adoration, confession, and followed with the Lord's Prayer. Now, adoration is our thanks for who God is in our lives and all the things that God does for us. And confession is a time to say we're sorry, and that's pretty much the simplest way to put that. And I know that we've got quite a number of boys and girls today with us in our congregation today, and I just want to make sure that's a big word, confession, maybe for the kids, maybe, but it's sometimes a big word even for us as grown-ups. We're sorry. We're sorry for the things that we've done, Lord. And those things can be things that, well, we often think of that are big, but they can also be very small things. Times maybe when, you know, somebody needed a pat on the back, or maybe somebody just needed you to smile at them. Maybe somebody needed you to step aside and let them go first in line, and you decided, no, I want to be first. Those are the things that we can be sorry for being selfish and pushing our way, and that's what we're coming before God to talk about and pray. So in that light, let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God of power and grace, you come to us in all sorts of surprising ways, and we come here this morning expecting surprises. We should be coming here every day when we come on Sundays, especially expecting surprises. And we read in the Bible that angels appeared, that people were raised from the dead, that people were healed. These are all surprising things. Sometimes surprises are small things. Sometimes surprises, as we read in Scripture, was somebody just gave somebody a little bit of food. Or maybe somebody prayed for someone. Or maybe someone did that very thing and smiled at someone else, and that made a difference. Lord, it's that face of love that you give us. It's that face of Emmanuel, God with us, that helps us to understand what love truly is. Shepherd of Israel, God of hosts, there have been times when we have demanded our own way, and that's what sin's all about. There's been times when we've been pushy, or maybe we've been loudmouthed, or maybe we didn't say anything at all and we should have said something on behalf of somebody. Maybe we wanted our own way. Maybe the extra cookie was mine, and maybe I should have left it for someone else. It can be very big things, Lord. It can be very small things, but it's things that step us away from what you expect of us when we are called to love one another as you have loved us. Those moments, God, in our lives, forgive us. Those moments, God, in our lives, help us to turn around and do better. And we know that we can do better because the Spirit of God, your Spirit, lives within us and coaxes us. If it weren't so, we wouldn't necessarily always feel guilty when we do these little things. It's those moments, Lord, that we come before you and we confess them to you. And in that light, Lord, in that sense of who you are and thanking you for all the things you have done for us and do for us, and in remembering the times when we stepped away, we know that you do forgive us. And the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray tells us this in so many different ways. Who you are, how you provide for us, and how you care for us. Lord, we say that prayer now in unison together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's been said that no matter how old we are, we're still somebody's children. We're still somebody's child. And in so many ways, we're just like the children that are here today, only bigger and a little whiter on top, maybe. But the idea is that we come to our father, to our parent, to God, in the same way a child might come to their own parent when they've been kind of not well behaved and they want to say they're sorry. And we know that our parents forgive us. And no matter what, our parents love us. And no matter how things go, our parents always care for us. How much more does God love us and does God forgive us? This is the promise that we have in God's love through Christ, that we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you, choir, very much. We'll sing now our children's hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and we're going to sing it right through. So I'll have the children come forward to sit at the benches over here on the side during verse 4, not verse 2. So during verse 4, we'll have the children come forward. O Little Town of Bethlehem, 165.
Thank you.
seated. Now, boys and girls, in the form of a children's time together today, I have a song I want to sing to you. And I was thinking when I got this put together today for this service, we're talking about love. Today is the Advent Sunday of love. And I wanted you to participate a little bit, and I've asked some of you to do a few things for me this morning. And we'll work out some other things as we get going through the morning. And I'll warn the grown-ups, whoever's tagged for collection this morning, there's going to be, you're going to have some helpers with you today doing that. So just be prepared. A lot of what's happening today is in my head. And I've been stewing on this for a long time. And when I got thinking about this particular service, I got thinking, well, what kind of music do your grandmothers and grandfathers, which it now is in so many ways, and maybe some of your parents, like, or did they like back when? And how might they have sung Christmas songs way back when? Well, I wanted to do one kind of in that style this morning, so I'm going to do that now. It'll be loud, choir.
Around that Christmas tree, they're laughing and talking and singing so merrily. Well, there's pumpkin pie and toys, there's happy girls and boys, but what's the proper meaning behind this Christmas joy? We're celebrating Jesus, that's what Christmas means to me. It's the birthday of the one who made the blind to see. Well, he purchased my salvation way back on Calvary. We're celebrating Jesus, that's what Christmas means to me. Well, everybody's getting a big around the Christmas tree, laughing, talking, and singing so merrily. There's snowflakes on the ground, there's loved ones all around. The Christmas lights won't shine as bright as all the joy I found. We're celebrating Jesus, that's what Christmas means to me. It's the birthday of the one who made the signs. He purchased my salvation way back on Calvary. We're celebrating Jesus, so the person must be his name. People celebrate the spirit Christmas brings to town. It's nothing new to us Christians, cause we feel it all year round. All year round. Feel it all year round. Everybody's gathering around Christmas tree. Laughing and talking, singing so happily. There's presents round the tree. There's even one for you and me. But the greatest gift of all is just a soul set free. Yeah, we're celebrating Jesus. That's what Christmas means to me. It's the birthday of the one who made the blind to see. He purchased my salvation way back on Calvary. We're celebrating Jesus. What Christmas means to me. I'm celebrating Jesus. That's what Christmas means to me. You know I'm celebrating Jesus. That's what Christmas, oh, Christmas means to me. Oh, yeah.
You guys really liked that song. That was good. Now, I want you to stay sitting here, because next thing we're going to do, we're going to read some scriptures, okay? And we're going to get ready to do that. I'm going to offer a prayer for that. And I would like, after all that excitement, and I'm still out of breath. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer as we get ready to hear some Bible reading. Lord, we thank you for all the music that we're having, the choir and whatnot today, and we thank you for the boys and girls who are here at the front and going to help out with our service. Lord, we pray that you can open all these scriptures up to us. Help us to understand what they mean and help us to understand the real meaning of Christmas and what it's all about, that we think about love and joy and peace and hope during the Christmas time. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our first reading this morning is taken from Psalm 80. And Psalm 80 is a psalm that is, well, you know, sometimes when you want to go before God, or your parents maybe, rather, and you say, please, can I have something? Whatever it may be. And you really want to go and do something, or you want to have something. And you just beg and beg and beg and beg and beg. And well, how would, you know how you do that. I'm not going to ask you how you do that. You know how you do that. What's the best way to get your parents to make let you do whatever you want to do? Well, this psalm is a kind of a same kind of an idea. People are asking God to help them. And they're saying that, you know, you've left us alone. They're trying to find out ways to get God's attention by speaking out these various things. They want God's help. And so they put it together as a prayer, Psalm 80, in a way to get God to listen and help them and do what they really want happening in their lives. So I'm going to call Stuart to come up and read us a responsive reading found in your Psalters, and it's Psalm 80 and some selected verses. Thank you, Stuart. And I'll sit here with you guys.
Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock. Restore us, O God. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? Restore us, O God of hosts. Now verse 17. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts.
Thank you, Stuart. Boys and girls, in that psalm that we just read, there was talk about one particular verse, verse 4, where it says, O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? People are saying in that they felt like God was mad at them and wasn't listening to them anymore. And sometimes our parents don't always listen to everything we want to do, but I'll bet sometimes you don't always listen to your parents too, don't you? Sometimes, yeah, they're telling you to do something and you're just not listening. So we want to be listening very well this morning, don't we? And we're going to try and do that some more. Now the next reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 7. And Isaiah is a prophet. A prophet is one who talks about things that are going to come to be, or talks about not forgetting what God is going to do. And particularly in Isaiah, there's a wonderful little promise that we have in there talking about Christmas. And this morning, Madeline's going to read that for us, an excerpt from it. And that's on page 636 in the Pew Bibles if you want to follow along. Okay? Wait, they can't see you apparently. You want to stand over here. That's right.
Isaiah 7, 3-16. Then Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David, it is too little for you to weary mortals that you wear my God also. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look at the young woman is with a child and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted.
Thank you, Madeline. And go ahead. Now, boys and girls, did you listen to what Madeline read? Yeah? What did it talk about in there? Any ideas? There's something that was told about what's going to happen. It has to do with Christmas. Madeline, do you know what you read there? Yeah. It's talking about Jesus being born. It's talking about Mary. A woman will have a child. And that's what Christmas is all about, when Jesus was born. And we're going to do some more about that this morning in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we have one more reading that's going to be taken, where you people are going to help with. And that's Brett. You're going to come up here and help, are you? And you're going to read from Romans. And this is a very abbreviated version of what's in the lectionary reading for this morning. But it's an address at the very beginning of the letter to Romans. And what Brett is going to share with us is the blessing that Paul gives as he begins this. And we think of the blessings of God during this particular time. Come on up, Brett. Come on up. You can stand over there, too, where Madeline was. I'll hold the mic for you, okay? You got it all printed out. Very good job. Go ahead.
So,
yep, yep.
Romans 1:1-7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brett. That was very good. Paul is talking to the church that's in Rome, in the city of Rome, and he's saying that, well, you're very faithful, and I want to thank you for that, and I want God to bless you for all of that. And that's something that we should be doing, especially at Christmas. We should be thankful for all that God's doing for us and hoping that God will bless other people. You did a good job, both of you. Very good. I'm going to read now from Matthew, and I want you to listen very carefully because it's got something to do with the Christmas story, and we're going to be dealing with that very directly in a few minutes. This is taken from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. And for all the grown-ups in the crowd, the first 17 verses or so talk about how Jesus has been descended from the house of David. But then it picks up at verse 18 with the sort of more traditional kind of idea that we have of the Christmas story. Now, boys and girls, listen carefully. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But when he resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the woman shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." And when Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. This is the word of God. We'll join together now in our next hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 371. And I'm going to sit down here with the boys and girls.
Thank you.
Now today, in place of today's sermon, we're going to try something a little bit different. And in light of that, I would like us to bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we pray that this morning's service can be really, hopefully, enlightening and enriching for all of us. Speak to us this day through the message that you have on the day of Advent love and Christmas joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, very often, guys, all you guys here in the front, around this time of year, we do what's called a children's pageant. And I don't think everybody's listening. I'm talking to you guys, by the way. Because I know all the boys and girls are listening to me right now, aren't you? Yeah. Every year we have a children's pageant, or most years we have a children's pageant of some kind, and you guys all get to dress up and act out the Christmas story. But today, we're going to do it a little bit different. It's the children's pageant in a way, but it's going to be directed by you guys. So I'm going to ask you for some help, and that's where you guys all get the help. So, when we do the children's pageant and we tell the Christmas story, what's one of the first things that we talk about in that children's story? Brett? Now you know. Yes. Okay. We had a little bit of a clue of that. Do you have an idea, Brett? Yeah? Love's a good answer, and that's kind of what we want to talk about. That's really what's going on. That's true. Okay. Yep. Any ideas, Shayla? We're brainstorming here a little bit, guys. All right. Let's see. Now, the first thing we hear about when we hear about the Christmas story is Mary and Joseph have to go somewhere. Do you remember where that is? Like a barn, yeah. Where is the barn? What city is it in? Do you know? Bethlehem. Okay, so we need to have a place in Bethlehem. And where did they go first? They didn't go right to the barn or first thing. Where did they go first? Any ideas? They wanted to go somewhere special. Yep, Madeline? They went to an inn. So we need an innkeeper. So Mr. Fielding, you get to be the innkeeper today, since you're the first one I saw. You can sit in the chair here and be the innkeeper. And look like you're keeping it in. But even before they get here to the innkeeper, they have to go and do something because people in Rome said they had to do it. Do you know what it was? It's something we do in this country too. It starts with the letter C, but it sounds like an S. He's got an innkeeper helper. They have to do a census. They had to leave where they lived and had to go to Bethlehem for the census. You know what that census is? You know what that is? We do that here. They count everybody where they live. So we need a registrar. Here's our registrar right here. So the registrar, you can just sit here in the front pew right here, because Mary and Joseph will come to you first, check in, and then they're going to go to the inn, and the innkeeper knows what he's going to do. What's going to happen when they get to the innkeeper? Do you guys know? They reject them. Why? There's no room. You're all booked up, right? And because everybody went here first, right? No, I think that's true. Everybody had to go to Bethlehem to get registered for the census. So the hotel got booked up and Mary and Joseph got there late. So they had to get in there. Now we need a Mary and a Joseph. Do you want to help me pick a Mary and a Joseph? Who do you think should be Mary and Joseph? Everybody can sweat now. You got a Mary and a Joseph in mind? You just point them out. They got to come up. We got a Mary? Yeah? We need a Joseph. Okay, George. Come on. Thank you. Now, Mary and Joseph, you go to the back here, because you have to travel a long way. All right, boys and girls, right? You have to travel a long way. Are we ready to get Mary and Joseph on the way? Okay. Now, Mary, you have to look like you're pregnant a little bit. Okay. All right. So Mary and Joseph are on their way to Bethlehem. Here they come. They're coming to Bethlehem. Come on, you're coming to Bethlehem. Now, don't walk too fast because, you know, you're carrying a baby. And you were riding a donkey for part. Was she riding a donkey? Is that right? Yeah, okay. We'll pretend she's riding a donkey, all right? Because I don't think anybody wants to do piggyback. You have to check in with the census first. Okay, you're checking in. Mary and Joseph checking in so they can get counted. Now, where do they go? Notice, now they're going over here to the innkeeper. They checked in for the census. Now they're going to go to the innkeeper. Come on over to the innkeeper. Now, what's the innkeeper going to tell them? No room. Where do they go? Where do they go? Madeline. They go to a barn. We need a barn. Well, we'll make the barn up here because we're running out of space. Here's the barn here. And you can sit in the barn. Now, what's this? Okay? Brendan. It's a cradle. Yeah, but if it's in a barn, what is it? And what's a manger? It's a big word. No, well, it could be used as a crib, but what normally would go in there? Madeline. Hay, that's right, to feed the animals. We need animals. We need a couple of animals to make our barn right, don't we? We're going to put our manger over here with Mary and Joseph. But what kind of animals would be in a barn in those days? Any ideas? Shayla? It might be a horse. More likely would be sheep. Okay, want to get a sheep? You want to get a sheep? Go get a sheep. Hurry up. Well, you're going to beat a sheep, are you? Or are you going to get a sheep? You're going to be a sheep. Okay, what does sheep say? I can't hear you, sheep. Okay, that's better. Did everybody hear that? There we go. That's better. What other kind of animals do we have in there? Cows? You want to be a cow or do you want to get a cow? You're going to be a cow. All right. And what do the cows say?
No.
Huh? They can't. They have to hear you up there. Okay. Sheep, what are you saying? That cows? Cows? Okay, good. Well, we got some more over here. Who do you want to be? You want to be a donkey? All right, you can go over there and be a... What did donkeys say? I don't think they heard you, Madeline. Okay, go over there with this there. Are you going to be an animal? You can pick somebody. What kind of animal, though? How about a pig? Go pick somebody. I know. Come on, Sheldon. They were going to be a horse, but they said pig. Well, you can be a horse. Can he be a horse? Can he be? Yeah, okay, well, you come over here. How about you sit over here, and we'll put Sheldon in this chair here so you don't have to get down on the floor. Okay, animals, let's hear all your noises. There we go. What a trooper. All right, so we have our animals in the barn. We have our innkeeper who's full up. We have our census keeper who's keeping track. You're keeping track, right?
Always.
Okay, good. And we have all our animals. What's next in the story? Not yet. Right? And so we need angels. I think we have an angel who's doing a preview for us. Because our angel's going to be in later on Christmas Eve too. So angel, you can stand up and put your arms out like an angel. There we go. We have an angel. And this angel's telling all about the glory of God and all the wonderful things. So angel, you can work your way up through here and stand up on the steps in there. Be very careful, angel, because you're wearing high heels. Apparently it's official garb for angels. There we go. We have our angel that's there. Now, who did the angel speak to? Not just Mary. Who else did the angel speak to? Yes? Joseph, that's right. Who else? Who's in a field?
The shepherds.
Okay, you know who's going to be the shepherds for us? We're going to make the whole choir shepherds. You guys are all shepherds, all right? Give us your shepherd's hooks. Shepherd's crooks. Well, some of them are sheep. Some of you can be sheep. Let's hear sheep. Oh, they're pretty pathetic sheep, I think, aren't they? Let's try that. This one's even louder. Come on, sheep. There we go. That's better. So the angel spoke to the shepherds, and what did the shepherds do? Right, but before they came, we had to have a baby Jesus, didn't we? And it just so happens, he's arrived. Thank you, Donna. And we'll give, Mary can hold Jesus. And when you get tired, you can put him in the manger, Mary. We'll keep him rest. So we have a baby Jesus. So we need a couple of shepherds to come and see visit here as well. So a couple of choir members, come on down. Angel, you coax them because they're shy. And that's what the angel did, right? Animals, I can't hear you. And the shepherds are coming to visit. There's our shepherds. And they came because the angel told them all about what was happening this morning, or this evening, right? If somebody else came a little bit later on, who was that? Wise men. So we need some wise guys, don't we? Sean, you can come on up here. You can be a wise man. You represent all three wise men. Come on. Yeah, come on, Sean. You can do it. Come on, buddy. Come on, bud.
I'm being interrupted.
Yes, you are. You're a wise man. And you're going to come and you're going to represent all three wise men for us. Yay, thank you. And you brought a gift, didn't you? Yes, he did. He did. He did. All right, so we have our Christmas theme. I want to hear the animals one more time and our sheep at the back. Very good. Does this look like a Christmas scene to you? Yeah, I think so. And a wonderful job everybody's done. Thank you, everybody. All this took place, as we read this morning in Isaiah, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin would be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Now, what does Emmanuel mean? Does anybody in the room know? God is with us. Let's say that together then. Emmanuel, God is with us. Ready? Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen. Thank you, everybody. You can go back to your seats now. Thank you very much. And one more round of applause. Thanks. Boys and girls, you can go back with and sit in the pews now. And thank you for your help, everybody. Now, now that I've dismissed everybody, I need four of you to help me with collection. Okay, Sheila and your friend, that's right. You can help. And Lacey, you're going to help with collection? Lacey, are you going to help with collection? Yeah? Okay, I want all of you guys to go down the back. And the grown-ups are taking up collection, go with them. Come on, Lacey. You coming? You going to do it? Come on. Come on, Lacey. Are we all set? Just about? Yeah. Okay, come on over here with these folks. We got Lacey here yet? You want to wait? You want to wait? It's okay. Madeline, you can go down and help them too. So we have four and four and four. We're good? Alrighty. All that we have is the Lord's. All that we may become and receive is in God's hands, and all for the sake of the joy of the Lord in our lives. Let us give generously for the well-being of our world. Let us give our offerings and tithes. Amen. Thank you. we thank you so much for all the many blessings you give to us, and we thank you for the children that have been helping this morning. Bless this offering that is here, that it can do your work and raise your name to glorious heights to help those in need in our community and those who are reaching out here from this church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Please be seated. I'll take the plates. Thank you. Thanks. Now, this is the Sunday of love, and I wanted to read one more scripture to you about that, and then we're going to say some prayers together. And it comes from 1 Corinthians 13. And this gets read a lot at weddings, this particular scripture. And a lot of the grown-ups here I know are very familiar with it. But I want us to listen to the words, because this is what we're talking about, especially in a service like today, when we've got a little rough edges around. And the kids are here and they're helping and participating, and things are running smoothly and they're not running smoothly, but it's all about expressing God's love, and that's why we're here. So I want to read from Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I only know in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these, is love. I want us to think about all of those aspects of love on this Advent Sunday of love, and all the aspects that we can put into place, especially when we come in a moment like this to pray for those in our congregation, in our community, in our world in need. Christmas is more than just family and not being alone and buying presents and all that other stuff that we kind of put around it. Christmas is really about that kind of love expressed especially for others in our lives. And I want to thank you as a congregation today for doing that, for allowing the kids to participate each in their own little ways, and for, as I said, the rough edges to be there, but it's still our time of worship. It's a time when we love God and we love each other. Now, boys and girls, just so you know, this is a time when we pray for other people. And just to make sure that nobody's fallen asleep, I'm going to say, O God who is with us, and all of you will say with me, hear our prayer. And that's not really why we say it, because I make sure you're not asleep. It's because we really, as a community of believers, just like we read in the song, want all of us to unite our hearts with that phrase, hear our prayer. That God is listening to us in the things that we ask for and responding. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy One, Holy God, you astonish us always with surprising gifts. And Lord, we come before you to pray for your church and for your people and all the people in our lives here and in their community at large and in our city and our country. Lord, we thank you for all the people that we have in our lives. We thank you for this time of year when we can be thinking about them especially. O God who is with us, hear our prayer. Lord, you give us so much in our lives, the sun, the outdoors, the rivers and oceans and everything that's big and small. It is so much as we look around on your earth that you give us. The summer, the spring, the winter, the fall, all of the seasons that we have and all of the things that we can enjoy in those seasons in your earth, hills and valleys and forests and water and all the things that you've helped grow in that soil and all the things that, well, even just the air, Lord, we thank you for these things. O God who is with us, hear our prayer. Lord, there's lots going on in our world, and if we watch the news, we can see very many things that are happening, some good, some not so good. So, Lord, we pray for people in other countries who don't have what we have here, freedoms to come on a Sunday morning, just like this, to come to church. There's people around the world who can't do that, where they'd be put in prison, where they would be told, no, you can't go there. We thank you for the freedoms that we have to be able to just go out on the street and get in our car and drive right across this whole country. And there's no restrictions in that respect. Lots of people in our world can't do that, Lord. Not only did they not have a car, but they couldn't get very far without being stopped for some reason. Lord, we pray for those people and pray that you can free them, give them the peace they need. O God, who is with us, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for everybody that we know in our lives, our relatives and our friends, and we have people in our life that we know are not feeling well today, people who might be in hospital, people who might be sick, people who, well, maybe they hurt themselves somehow and they're just mending. We all have friends and family that are like that. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with them. And Lord, use us that we can help get them better too. So Lord, we pray for them and pray that you'll make them well. O God who is with us, hear our prayer. You are the sustainer of your people. You are the one who protects us. You are our father, our parent. And we give you thanks for all the members in the body of Christ here in this congregation today. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here today as a family and worship. Lord, we hold all of these prayers knowing that you hear and you answer them. We hold them all up in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 146, Angels from the Realms of Glory. We'll just sing the first three verses of this song. First three verses of Angels from the Realm of Glory. God, God calls us to love, and God loves us. And we must remember, as we said earlier with their play here, what does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God is with us. Let's say that together. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now let the face of God shine upon you to bless you and save you from all doubt and danger through Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen. Thank you, Madeline.